بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. Last lesson we went through some of the rulings which relate to Salatul Janazah, the Janazah prayer. And in this lesson today, we're going to carry on discussing a few more of the rulings that relate to the Janazah prayer. And then, bi-idhnillah, in the next lesson, we'll discuss the Janazah prayer itself in detail. In the last lesson, we spoke about, or where we stopped, was regarding praying the Janazah prayer over the non-Muslims and the munafiqun, the hypocrites. And we said that it's not permitted for the Muslims to pray the Janazah prayer over the non-Muslims. And this is because the Janazah prayer, it's a form of dua, it's a form of supplication. And once a person has passed away, then the supplication and mercy should only be done for the Muslims, and it is not for the non-Muslims, those who disbelieved in Allah and His Messenger on the final day. In the lesson today, we're going to start off by discussing praying Janazah prayer over a person, or over a deceased person who isn't present, over the Ghaib. Meaning, a person passes away in a different country, and we're living in a different country. Or a person passes away in a particular town, and we're living in another town. Is it permitted for us in this town or in this country to pray the Janazah prayer over that person and he is Ghaib, his body isn't in front of us? And in this issue, we find that the Fuqaha rahimahumullah, they have differed in three opinions. And the evidence of each one of these three opinions is the same hadith. And this is when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam prayed the Janazah prayer over the king of Abyssinia at that time, called An-Najashi. So An-Najashi, and he was the king of Abyssinia, which was in those times it referred to Ethiopia, Eritrea, and some of the countries around that area. He was a Muslim and he died as a Muslim. However, his followers and the people in his country, they remained as Christians. And therefore nobody prayed his Janazah prayer. And because of this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Medina, when he heard that An-Najashi had passed away as a Muslim, he then led the Janazah prayer and ordered the Muslims to pray the Janazah prayer, even though An-Najashi wasn't in Al-Madina. And in this we have the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when An-Najashi passed away, مَاتَ الْيَوْمَ عَبْدٌ لِلَّهِ صَالِحٌ, that today a righteous person of Allah has passed away. فَقُومُوا فَصَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ, so stand up and pray for him. I pray Janazah for him. And in another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, مَاتَ الْيَوْمَ أَخٌ لَكُمْ بِغَيْرِ أَرْضِكُمْ, that today your brother in a different country has passed away. فَقَامُوا فَصَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ, so stand up and pray for him. I pray the Janazah prayer. وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا لِأَخِيكُمْ, and seek forgiveness for your brother. And when the companions, alayhim ridwanullah, when they asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam who this person was, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, he is An-Najashi. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he arranged the companions in a number of rows, and he prayed the Janazah prayer as if the body was in front of them. And he made four takbirs when praying the Janazah prayer. And this hadith has been compiled in both Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. Now regarding, or based upon this hadith, then the scholars, they differed in three different opinions with regards to praying the Janazah prayer of a person who is absent, or the body of the deceased is absent. So first, the first opinion is of the scholars of the Hanbali and the Shafi'i Madhab, rahimahumullah, and they said that it is recommended to pray Salat al-Janazah ala al-Ghaib on everyone who dies far away. So anybody who dies far away, regardless of whether people in his country have prayed the Janazah prayer or haven't prayed the Janazah prayer, then it's highly encouraged and recommended for the Muslims in whichever country you may be or whichever town, that you pray the Janazah prayer. and the evidence is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed over Najashi. So because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed over Najashi and he wasn't there in Medina, then it's highly recommended for the Muslims to pray the janazah prayer al-ghaib upon a person who is absent, wherever they may be. Then the second opinion is the opinion of Imam Abu Hanifa and Malik and their followers, rahimahumullah. Now they said that it isn't permitted, or the janazah prayer upon an absent person isn't permitted in any instance. And as for what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did with Najashi, then this was something which was specific to him, i.e. it was special for him, and after this it's not permitted for anybody else to pray the janazah prayer al-ghaib upon a deceased person who is absent. And then we have a third opinion, and this is an opinion of some of the Shafi'i and also Ibn Qayyim rahimullah, that if the janazah prayer has not been performed in the country or the town where the person has died, you fear that the janazah prayer hasn't been performed there, then you should pray it. And if you know that the janazah prayer has been performed in that country, then it's not permitted for the Muslims to pray. And again, the evidence is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam praying over An-Najashi. The reason why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed over Najashi is because he was living in a country where all of his citizens or subjects were Christians. And therefore it was feared that nobody had prayed the janazah prayer over him. And for this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed the janazah prayer. And it seems that this is a correct opinion, wal ilm indallah. Of course, if you remember, the ruling of the janazah prayer is that it is fard kifaya. And the meaning of fard kifaya is that it is a collective obligation. Meaning, as long as a group of Muslims pray the janazah prayer, then the responsibility and the sin from all of the other Muslim ummah has been lifted and relieved from them. So if we find the janazah prayer being prayed in a particular country or by a particular jama'ah in a particular place, then the responsibility and the obligation and the sin has been lifted from all of the other Muslims. And this is the opinion that seems correct, that you should only pray the janazah prayer upon a person who is absent when they die in a land where perhaps the janazah prayer hasn't been prayed over them. And I remember when I was in Al-Jamia Islamiyah in the Islamic University of Medina, and one of the ulama passed away in Pakistan, or in India, I believe it was Sheikh Safi Rahman, Sahib Rahiqul Makhtoum, the person, the author who wrote When the Moon Split. When he passed away, it was strange because in the masjid in the university, we had the brothers from Pakistan and India praying the janazah prayer over Sheikh Safi Rahman Mubarak Furi, and the rest of the Muslims and the rest of the students weren't doing it because they didn't know he had passed away. So we had a situation in a masjid where all of a sudden a small group of people from a particular nationality are praying a janazah prayer, and none of the other Muslims are aware that what is this prayer that they're praying and why are they praying it. And for sure, the janazah prayer of Sheikh Safi Rahman, rahimullah, no doubt it was prayed in his country. And similarly, I heard that when King Abdullah, rahimullah, when he passed away recently, then in some parts of the world, some parts of Saudi Arabia, they were praying janazah prayer in the masjid, al-ghaib. In all cases, as I mentioned, that the correct opinion seems to be that the janazah prayer al-ghaib upon a person who is absent is only prayed when it is feared that the janazah prayer hasn't been prayed for him in the country or the land in which he was residing. And more than this, we find that, for example, the Khulafa al-Rashideen, the four rightly guided Khulafa, they passed away. And we don't find narrations of Muslims all over the world then praying their janazah prayer, or the Muslims in the leaders in the various countries at that time praying the janazah prayer. And after them, many of the great a'imma and ulama and the martyrs, and they passed away. And we don't find narrations of various groups of Muslims in different countries praying over them. Wallahu a'lam. The next issue is, where should the janazah prayer be prayed? And the answer is that it is permitted for the janazah prayer to be prayed inside the masjid. However, that which is better and more recommended and mustahab is that the janazah prayer is prayed outside in the musalla. And this is the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Many, many instances and many ahadith, we find that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he prayed the janazah prayer over his companions, not inside Masjid al-Nabawi al-Sharif, but outside in the musalla, in an open area outside. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would pray the Eid prayer outside, and like he would pray Salat al-Istisqa, the prayer for the rain, outside in an open area. And we only have one narration in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam prayed a janazah prayer inside the masjid, and we have a number of narrations that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam prayed outside. For example, we have the hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. He said, "Anna al-Yahuda ja'u bi rajulin minhum wa mra'atin zanaya." That the Jews, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with a man and a woman from amongst them, from amongst the Jews, who had committed adultery. فَأَمَرَ بِهِمَا فَرُجِمَا or فَأُمِّرَ بِهِمَا فَرُجِمَا. And then they were ordered to be brought forward and they were stoned, i.e. the penalty of adultery. فَرُجِمَا قَرِيبًا مِنْ مَوْضِعِ الْجَنَائِزِ عِنْدَ الْمَسْجِدِ. They were stoned in the place where the janazah prayer used to be prayed, near to the masjid. So this hadith here, and it's in Sahih al-Bukhari, it shows that at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they used to have a specific place outside the masjid, and this place became known as the place where the janazah prayer is prayed, and also with regards to the Eid as well. And it said that that place was towards the side of Masjid al-Nabawi at that time where Al-Baqi' is. So between Al-Baqi' and between Masjid al-Nabawi, the Muslims and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they used to establish the janazah prayer there. Imam al-Bukhari rahimullah, when he compiled this hadith, he compiled it under the chapter Bab As-Salatu ala al-Janaiz bil-Musalla wal-Masjid, the chapter of praying the janazah prayer in the Musalla, in the open prayer area, and also in the Masjid. With regards to, and also, for example, when the prayer, the janazah prayer of An-Najashi was prayed, then it is mentioned that it was prayed outside in the musalla. With regards to praying inside the masjid, then we have one single hadith. And this is the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, and she narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he prayed the janazah prayer over Suhail ibn Ubaidah and his brother inside the masjid. So the recommendation, and it is better that we have a place to pray the janazah prayer outside the masjid, and it's permitted for it to be prayed inside, especially if there's a necessity like rain, for example. So for example, in the masjid now, we could have the car park whereby we pray the janazah prayer, and if it's raining, then we pray inside. But the asl is that we pray it outside, like the Eid prayer. With regards to praying the janazah prayer inside the masjid, is there more reward or a special virtue of praying it inside the masjid, whether it's Masjid al-Nabawi or whether it's here? Just like when it comes to the five obligatory prayers, there's an extra reward for praying inside the masjid. With regards to the janazah, there isn't any extra reward. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, which has been narrated by Abu Dawood, Ahmad and others, he said, "Man salla ala janazatin fil masjid falaysa lahu shay." He who prays over a janazah in the masjid does not get anything extra. Meaning, there's no extra reward for praying the janazah inside the masjid. Rather, the asal, and that which is better, is that it should be prayed outside. Is it permitted for the janazah prayer to be prayed at the graveyard or amongst the graves? And then the asal, the base ruling with the Muslims, according to the authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is that nothing is prayed inside the graveyards, or nothing is prayed amongst the graves. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, or he said, "Anna an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha an yusalla 'ala al-janaiz bayn al-qubur." That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he forbade the janazah prayer being prayed amongst the grave, i.e. in the graveyard. And this is a general ruling. However, there are two exceptions to this ruling. So generally we say that we don't pray anything inside a graveyard or near the graves. In fact, there's a prohibition for us to do any type of worship in the graveyard, whether it's nawafil, or whether of course it's making dhabh, or whether it's reciting the Quran, or making dhikr, or making dua, apart from making dua for the mayyit and saying salam upon the mayyit. Apart from this, then no other worship or special act of worship is done in the graveyard. When it comes to praying the janazah prayer, then there are firstly, it's permitted for the janazah prayer to be prayed inside the graveyard in an area which is away from the graves. So we have a graveyard, and then we have the graves in a particular place, and within the walls of the graveyard there's a particular place away from the graves which has been specifically set for the janazah prayer. This is something which is permitted. And it's narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or it's narrated that the companions alayhim ridwanullah, they prayed over some of the other companions like Aisha radiallahu anha and Salama in the middle of Al-Baqiyah. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, and some of the other companions, they prayed the janazah prayer over Aisha radiallahu anha and Salama in Al-Baqiyah. However, this was a place towards a particular side of Al-Baqiyah where there wasn't graves. And again, this is something permitted. Also, if you have a masjid which is near to the graveyard, or we had a masjid inside the graveyard but it wasn't near the graves. We have a graveyard and we have a masjid towards one side and the graves are towards the other side. Then Imam Ahmad rahimullah, he said that it is not permissible to pray in a masjid amongst the graves except for the janazah prayer. This place has been specified for the janazah prayer, but it's away from the graves. With regards to praying the janazah prayer next to a specific grave, there's a specific grave and people want to pray the janazah prayer there. Again, the same ruling applies. That generally speaking, it's not permitted for any prayer, janazah prayer or otherwise, to be prayed near a particular grave, except in two situations. The first situation is that this Muslim who is buried in that grave, he was buried without a janazah prayer. For example, if it was the non-Muslims and they buried this Muslim and no janazah prayer was done over him, and this funeral is in your locality, in that specific situation, a person can go to that grave and pray the janazah prayer near the grave, even lead the other Muslims in the janazah prayer. Or, in another instance, if the janazah prayer was prayed of that person, however, the Muslims in that locality, they weren't aware, and specifically their imam. So for example, as an example, somebody passes away at night or suddenly, and a few of the Muslims, they praise janazah prayer and he's buried, but the imam of the masjid or the imam of that area, he wasn't aware. In that instance, it's permitted for that imam along with a group of Muslims to go to the grave of that person and pray the janazah prayer and lead the Muslims in the janazah prayer. And pay attention here, we are talking about a situation in which a person wasn't aware. So we're not saying an instance whereby the janazah prayer has clearly been advertised, and maybe using advertise is the wrong word, people clearly know about the janazah prayer, and then there's a new innovation in which people come from different towns and they say, because we didn't pray the janazah prayer, we're going to go to the graveyard and we're going to pray the janazah prayer. No, this is only the situation in which either the janazah prayer hasn't been prayed over that Muslim, or when the janazah prayer was prayed but the imam of that town or the Muslims of that town, they weren't made aware. In these two specific situations, it is permitted. And the evidence for this is a number of instances in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this very thing for that very reason. So for example, there was a man who used to clean the masjid, or there was an old man who was ill, he was sick, and he passed away at night, and some of the companions, they buried this man and they didn't inform the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the next day, he found out that this person has been buried and he did not know of the janazah, he rebuked the companions. He said to them, why didn't you inform me? Why didn't you seek my permission? And then he went to the graveyard of this person or the grave of this person, and he prayed the janazah prayer. And the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari, in Muslim, and others. Also, we have the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. There was a woman, a black woman, and she used to clean the masjid and pick up the dirt and the rubbish from the masjid. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to take special care of her and take care of her needs and show attention to her. And then for a while, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he didn't see this woman. And when he asked the companions, where is this woman? They said that she died at night and they have already buried her. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Halla kuntum adhantumuni? That why didn't you seek my permission, or why didn't you inform me? And they said to him, Messenger of Allah, it was at night and you were sleeping and we didn't want to disturb you. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to the grave of that woman, and then he prayed the janazah over that woman, because he wasn't aware that the janazah had been prayed, and he was the Imam of the Muslims at that time. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam prayed the janazah prayer over that woman, he then said, Inna hadhihi al-qubur mamlu'atun dhalama. Indeed, these graves, they engulf their dwellers with darkness. Wa inna Allah azza wa jal munawwiruha lakum bi salati alayhim. And indeed, Allah azza wa jal, he illuminates them by my prayer for them. Because of the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam over the deceased, then Allah azza wa jal, he makes those graves illuminated and of light. Just so there isn't a doubt that this is a form of shirk, or people now start making dua to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is from the angle of righteous people praying the janazah over a person who has passed away. Whenever a group of righteous people pray the janazah over a person who has passed away, we hope that it's a form of intercession for them, it's mercy for them, and their duas are accepted. Is it a condition that for a person to pray the janazah prayer, or for the imam to lead the janazah prayer, that he or the people who are praying the janazah prayer, they have to be in the state of wudu, in the state of an ablution? The author of this book, and perhaps Sheikh al-Albani rahimullah, they were of the opinion that it isn't a condition that the people who are praying the janazah have to be in a state of wudu. And this was the opinion that they have. However, they said that it's highly recommended because of the dhikr and the Qur'an and the Fatiha and so on and so forth. However, in reality, it seems that the opinion, or you know, a person doesn't feel comfortable with that opinion. And we have Lajnatul Da'imah, the committee of major scholars in Saudi Arabia, and they were of the opinion that rather it's a condition that the wudu has to be done for those who are praying the janazah prayer. Why? Number one, it is Salatul Janazah. It's a prayer. And it is called As-Salah. And we know that one of the conditions of As-Salah is that it has to have wudu. The definition of As-Salah, the fuqaha have mentioned, they said, أَقْوَالٌ وَأَفْعَالٌ مَخْصُوصَةً. Specific statements and specific actions. مُفْتَتِحَةٌ بِالتَّكْبِيرِ وَمُخْتَتِمَةٌ بِالتَّسْلِيمِ. Starting with a takbir and ending with a taslim. And we find that the janazah prayer is exactly that. We start the janazah prayer with a takbir and we end it with a taslim. And there are specific actions or specific statements and du'as that we read throughout this salah, throughout this prayer. So because of this, we say that it is a condition to make wudu and be in wudu when you are praying the janazah prayer. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith of Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu in Sahih Bukhari, La tuqbalu salat man ahdatha hatta yatawadda. That the prayer of a person who is not in the state of wudu is not accepted until he performs wudu, until he performs ablution. Of course, the obligation of the janazah prayer is that we pray it in a jama'ah, as in a congregation with a number of Muslims. And the more Muslims we have praying in this jama'ah, then the greater the reward and the greater the mercy by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. However, if a person was to pray the janazah prayer individually, then the minimum amount of obligation has been covered. But it is better, far greater, that the janazah prayer is prayed in congregation. We find that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away, that the companions, they didn't pray the janazah prayer over him in a congregation. Rather, a single companion would come, pray the janazah prayer, and then he would leave. And then another person would come from amongst the companions, pray the janazah prayer individually, and then he would leave. And like this, a number of companions came, one by one, they would pray the janazah prayer, and then they would leave, and they didn't pray it in jama'ah. And the reason for this is, some of the ulama have mentioned, that this was the high regard of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That how is it possible that there can be an imam and he stands in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has passed away, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's the imam of the Muslims. And for this reason, out of their honoring and exalting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they didn't have a single imam with the congregation who prayed over the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this was something which is specific just for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's a misconception that people think that those who should pray or lead the janazah prayer over a deceased are the relatives of the deceased. That the person who has the most right is the relative of the deceased. And in reality, or in fact, the correct opinion is that the one who has a right to pray over the janazah prayer is the imam of the Muslims, or the representative of the imam of the Muslims, i.e. the imam of the masjid. The imam of the masjid, he's the one who has the first right to pray the janazah prayer, and not the relatives. And if he gives permission for the relatives to pray, then this is okay. However, the right is his. And we find a number of hadith regarding this. With regards to the reward for the person who has died in terms of the people praying over him, then we find a number of hadith showing us that the more number of people who pray the janazah prayer for the person who is deceased, then the greater his reward is. And we find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioning 100 people, and mentioning 40 people, and mentioning many people, and mentioning even a number of rows. So for example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, and this hadith is in Sahih Muslim, he said, "Ma min mayyitin tusalla alayhi or tusalli alayhi ummatun minal muslimina yablughuna mi'a." That whenever there is a deceased person and a group of Muslims pray over him, and their number reaches 100, kulluhum yashfa'una lahu, and every single one of them, they supplicate for him and they supplicate for intercession for him, illa shufi'u fi wa ghufira lahu, except that their intercession is accepted and he has been forgiven of his sins. So in this hadith in Sahih Muslim, we find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioning 100 people. And for this reason, it's highly recommended for as many people to pray the janazah over a person. In another hadith, we find 40 people. In the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma min rajulin muslimin yamud," that whenever a person who is a Muslim dies, فَيَقُومُ عَلَى جَنَازَتِهِ أَرْبَعُونَ رَجُلًا, and then 40 people pray the janazah prayer over him, لا يشركون بالله شيئا, and they are not from the people of shirk, meaning they are from the people of tawheed, إلا شفعهم الله فيه, except Allah accepts their intercession on his behalf, meaning he forgives his sins. So here we have 40 people. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, لا يشركون بالله شيئا, that they do not commit any form of shirk. And this is from the virtues of At-Tawheed and the virtues of the people of At-Tawheed. The people who commit acts of shirk, then their janazah prayer is of no relevance and no reward and holds no weight with Allah Azza wa Jal. So neither is their intercession accepted, and neither will the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam be accepted for them on Yawm al-Qiyamah. The intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the shafa'a or the wasila of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on Yawm al-Qiyamah, it is only for the people of At-Tawheed. The people of Tawheed who have sins, who have minor sins, who have major sins. Maybe they have some innovations. However, they don't commit a shirk. And Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said, "Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, man as'adu an-nasi yawm al-qiyamah bi shafa'atik," that who are the people who are most deserving O first, O most deserving of your shafa'a on the day of resurrection. And the Prophet wasallam said, Man qala la ilaha illallah khalisan min qalbihi. Those people who said la ilaha illallah with sincerity in their heart. And it's not possible for a person who commits acts of shirk, even if he says la ilaha illallah upon his tongue, that it will be in sincerity from or in his heart. And the Prophet wasallam said, Shafa'ati yawm al-qiyamah li ahli al-kaba'ir min ummati. That my intercession, the intercession of the Prophet ﷺ on Yawm al-Qiyamah, is the people who commit major sins from my ummah. And who is the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ? The people of At-Tawheed. We know that sins are of different types. We have As-Saghair, minor sins. Then we have Kaba'ir, major sins. And then we have Shirk Asghar and Shirk Akbar. So in these four levels, the Prophet ﷺ said, Shafa'ati, my shafa'a, my intercession, li ahl al-kabair, is for the people of, or those who commit major sins. Minor sins, major sins, this is where the shafa'a of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. The people of ash-shirk, minor shirk and major shirk, then the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not for them. So this is fadlu tawheed wa fadlu ahli tawheed, the virtue of tawheed and the virtue of the people of at-tawheed. Neither is their janaz and their intercession for other people accepted, and does not hold any weight, and neither is the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted for them. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma min mayyitin yusalli alaihi ummatun min al-nas illa shuf'u alaihi." Whenever a large group of Muslims pray over another person, i.e., another Muslim, then his intercession or their intercession is accepted on his behalf. So here we find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioning a group of Muslims, a large group of Muslims. So here we have two conditions. If we want this reward to be for the deceased person, with two conditions. Number one, that they have to be from the people of At-Tawheed with the correct aqidah and the correct belief. And number two, that when they come, their intention is that they are coming sincerely to supplicate for this person and to intercede in front of Allah for this person. Also, in another hadith, we find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma min muslimin yamutu fa yusalli alayhi thalathatu sufufin min al-muslimina illa awjab or illa ghufira lah." Whenever a Muslim dies and we have three rows of Muslims who pray over him, I pray his janazah, except that the forgiveness is granted. And so here we have find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioning three rows of Muslims, and he didn't mention any numbers. And for this reason, it is narrated and mentioned about some of the ulama and the fuqaha that whenever there would be a janazah prayer, they would organize the people in three rows. Even if it's only, for example, 14 people, then they would organize them in rows of three, and they wouldn't have one long row behind them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's narrated, and it's in At-Tabarani, and Al-Albani, rahmullah, he considered this hadith to be acceptable, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he once prayed a janazah with seven other people with him, i.e. only eight people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and seven other people. And he formed them into three rows. Three people in the first row behind him, and then two people in the second row, and two people in the third row. Altogether, seven people. There's a slight difference of opinion with regards to forming the prayers. That is it better for us to have one full row, and it is full, and there are no gaps like we do with any other prayer? Or when it comes to the janazah prayer, we should have three rows, even if there are gaps in each row? Like even if it's only five people, five people and five people, for example. The question. And some of the ulama, they mention that if the janazah prayer is done outside in the musalla area, then you should have three rows, even if it's only, for example, five people or seven people. However, if it is done in a masjid, whereby we have rows and we have a wall, and we have boundaries to the musalla, to the masjid, or to the prayer area, then we should have a full row. And Allah knows best regarding this issue. where does the imam stand with regards to, in relation to the body of the deceased? The imam, if the deceased person is a male, then the imam should stand in parallel or level to the head of the deceased person who is a male, whether it's an adult or a young boy. And if it is a female, then the Prophet then the imam should stand in the middle of the woman, whether she is a woman or whether she is a girl. And there's a diagram. So if we look at this diagram here, if you can see this diagram on page 202, that we have the imam and the people are praying behind him. When the deceased is a male or a boy, then the imam with the people behind him is standing parallel to the head of the male. And if it is a female, a woman or a young girl, then we have the imam standing in the midsection or parallel to the midsection of the woman or the young girl. And if it is a number of deceased, then the man is placed closer to the congregation and then the females are behind. And this has been written in the hadith of Samurah ibn Jundub, which has been narrated in Bukhari and Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he prayed over Ka'b and she had died in pregnancy, that he stood for prayer near her middle eye, the midsection. And there isn't any specific narration that should the body of the deceased be on the right hand side of the imam or the left hand side of the imam. So yes, the imam stands at the head, but then the rest of the body or the feet towards the right hand side of the imam or the feet towards the left hand side of the imam. There isn't any specific hadith that says either way. However, in practice with the general hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to prefer things, good things to be done on the right hand side, maybe it can be said that it is better for the body of the deceased person to be on the right hand side of the imam. When there are a number of people who pass away, should a single janazah be prayed for every single person who has passed away, or is it permitted for one janazah to be prayed over a large group of people, however large they may be? And the reality is that there's a choice. All the scholars have differed. Some of them said that no, it's enough for one single janazah to be done over all of them. And some of them said no, for every single deceased person, a separate janazah should be done. And we find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam praying individual janazah for a number of deceased people. And at the same time, we find many of the companions praying one single janazah for a group of deceased. Those ulama who said that a single janazah should be prayed for all of the deceased, they said because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Asri'u bil janazah," that hasten and be quick to pray the janazah. And the quickest way to pray the janazah is to pray one janazah over a group of deceased. However, the other ulama, they said that no, because it is salatul janazah and it is a dhikr of Allah and it is dua for the mayyit and istighfar for him and intercession on his behalf, then it is better to pray a single janazah for every single person who has passed away. And the reality is that the choice is the imams. The choice is the imams to pray a single janazah or to pray a number of janazahs. With regards to, are there any times in which it is forbidden to pray the janazah prayer? First of all, it's permitted for the janazah prayer to be prayed at night. And we find, for example, when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu passed away, that the companions, they prayed his janazah prayer at night. And also in some of the previous hadith I mentioned, in which the old man who was sick passed away, or the black woman who used to clean the masjid, she passed away. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had prayed Isha and he was sleeping, and the companions, they prayed the janazah prayer over that woman or that man. And the reason why they didn't wake the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is because they didn't want to disturb the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he didn't rebuke them for praying the janazah prayer at night. Rather, he rebuked them because they hadn't informed him so he could also pray. So this shows that it's permitted for the janazah prayer to be prayed at night unless it's a case of necessity. There are three times in which we're not meant to pray any prayer, whether it's the janazah prayer or any other prayer. And these three times have been mentioned in a hadith in Sahih Muslim and Abu Dawud and others, which has been narrated by Uqbah ibn Amir radiallahu an, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, and I summarize, that there are three times in which a prayer should not be prayed, and neither should the dead be buried. And I'll summarize these three times. Number one, from dawn until sunrise, until the sun has risen to the measurement of a spear over the horizon. So when we see in the horizon that the sun has risen from what we can see, what would be a spear, or height of a spear, then after this a prayer can be prayed, i.e. a nafl prayer or a janazah prayer. However, before this time, then there isn't any nafl prayer or any janazah prayer that should be prayed. Also, when the sun is directly above the head of a person such that he has no shadow. And this position is called the zenith of the sun, i.e. the peak or the highest form or the highest place of the sun, whereby it's directly over the head of a person and there's no shadow for the person. From this time until the sun slightly moves away from this and then there's a shadow of the person, between this time, no prayer should be prayed, whether it's a nafl prayer or janazah prayer. And then, from after Asr, all the way until the Maghrib time, then there's no prayer that should be prayed, whether it's a janazah prayer or any other nafl prayer. And this is because in those times, those people who used to worship the sun, the mushrikun, they used to pray their prayers in these times. And because of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanting the Muslims to be different from them, then he forbade the Muslims from praying in these times. The time from dawn until sunrise to the height of the spear is about 15-20 minutes. And similarly, the time for when the sun is overhead and it goes past the zenith is only a few minutes, maybe 5 or 10 minutes, and like this. There's a slight difference of opinion on other prayers. For example, Tahiyyatul Masjid, praying the two sunnah of wudu, and other prayers like this, should they be prayed in this time, in these prohibited times, or should they not be prayed in these prohibited times? And there's a major difference of opinion regarding this issue. The final point that we have, and we'll end the lesson with this, is it permitted for a person to mention the name of the deceased person out loud in front of the people before he prays the janazah prayer? So he says to the congregation that we're going to pray the janazah prayer over Fulan ibn Fulan, for example. Is this permitted or is this not permitted? And we find that because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the name of Najashi, and the companions asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that who is this person that you're referring to that we're going to pray the prayer over, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it is Najashi, the king of Abyssinia, that it is then permitted for the imam to mention the name of the deceased. And this is so that the people who are going to make dua for him, pray janazah for him, perhaps in the dua they want to mention the name of the deceased. So this is permitted, but it can't be to the level of an-na'i, which we mentioned previously, being extravagant or exceeding the limits, or that you start to praise the person excessively in the janazah, not like this. But just to inform the people that the person who has passed away, he's Fulan ibn Fulan, and we're going to pray the janazah prayer over this. We'll stop with that today, because I want to spend a whole lesson with regards to the janazah prayer itself. I'm going to some detail regarding the janazah prayer. Wallahu a'lam. There's a question here from one of the sisters. Is it permitted to give condolences to the non-Muslim family of a non-Muslim, for example your neighbor, and say sorry for your loss or something similar? The issue of ta'ziyah, condolences, the objective behind giving ta'ziyah and giving condolences is firstly to make dua for the person who has passed away, and then to bring some comfort to the family of the deceased. And when it comes to making dua for the person who has passed away, then this is not permissible except the Muslim. However, when it comes to bringing comfort to the family of the deceased, especially when it's going to be a form of a da'wah to them, then this is permitted. That person goes to the house of the deceased and he gives them a form of da'wah and he admonishes them about death, and also he brings some comfort to them regarding their relative who has passed away. Wallahu a'lam. Who's passed away?
Well, the companion is going to ask, you know, like Muslim, a Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and his sins are all forgiven anyway. So is it just the case of just praying the prayer, read the durood on him and just moved away?
It's mentioned here, and it's been recorded by Bayhaqi in his Sunan and Ibn Majah and Ahmad, that the companions, they prayed over the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam individually without an imam. And some of the ulama, they mentioned the reason to this, and he said that the truth is that the Muslims prayed for him individually without an imam. Ibn Duhiyya, he mentioned that the truth is that the Muslims prayed for him individually without an imam. And Imam Shafi'i confirmed this, confirmed that this was because of the great status of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they insisted that no single individual would lead the prayer over him, and Allah knows best. And this was a special incident that is hard to explain, and therefore we cannot drop it because of it. So it seems to be that it's established that they did pray the prayer. Because they said that they prayed over him without an imam, this showed that they did pray the janazah prayer, but not the janazah prayer with an imam and a congregation. Allahu a'lam. So it seems from the wording of this narration, Bayhaqi and Ibn Majah. With regards to the shaheed, a martyr who dies fighting in the way of Allah, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on most of the martyrs who died in many of the battles, he didn't pray janazah over them. However, in some instances, like over Hamza ibn Abi Talib and Abdullah ibn Jahsh and some of the other shuhada, he prayed janazah over them. So it's not an obligation, but it's permitted. Can you pray behind a Brailwi for a Brailwi? First of all, the janazah is prayed over any Muslim, regardless of his level of innovation, as long as he doesn't die upon kufr. I.e., his shirk is so severe that it hasn't reached the level of kufr. Whether some of his acts are forgiven or takfir isn't made of him because he was ignorant and he didn't know the evidences and the matters weren't explained to him, then that is a different issue. But as long as a person dies as a Muslim and we accept that he has died as a Muslim, then we pray over him. Of course, a person who dies upon shirk is a kafir, because shirk is kufr. A person can't be a mushrik and a kafir. However, it's possible that you might find a Muslim and he has fallen into some aspects of a shirk, are not the major form of a shirk. So for example, a person who prays to a wali, or a person who says, no, there's other than Allah who has ilmul ghaib. This is kufr. This is now to level of al-kufr. But we might have other smaller instances of shirk that somebody falls into, and he's an army, he's a jahil, and evidences haven't been established over him, and we believe that he has died over a Muslim. As long as a person dies as a Muslim, then we pray behind him. The issue of praying behind the people of innovation, then firstly, from the Aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, and this has been mentioned by Imam Ahmad in his Sunnah and Al-Barbahari in his Usul Sunnah, some of the other ulama, they said that Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we consider the prayer to be correct, خَلْفَ كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ بِرًّا كَانَ أَمْ فَاجِرًا, that we hold the Muslim prayer to be, the prayer to be prayed behind any imam, as long as he is a Muslim, whether he was righteous or whether he was disobedient. And it was only the Khawarij who used to abandon the masajid of the Muslims and not pray with anybody else except their own group. They only prayed with their own group and they would not pray with the other Muslims. And for this reason, the Salaf, they used to mention this in their books. They used to say that Nara as-salata khalfa ahl al-qibla, that we consider the prayer to be correct behind the people of the Qibla, meaning the Muslims. Any Muslim, regardless of how righteous or disobedient he is, then the prayer is accepted and valid. Obviously, this is different to, for example, we say that a person, as an example, he doesn't have a beard, or he's ignorant regarding the religion. Is it better for us to allow him to lead the prayer, or that we find an imam who has a beard or is established enough to lead the prayer? That's something else. That is what is better. But when it comes to whether it's acceptable and valid or not, then Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, they believe that the prayer is correct behind any imam as long as he's a Muslim, regardless of how righteous and how disobedient he was. Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimullah, he was asked regarding praying the janazah prayer behind the Asha'ira. And he said that it is permitted to pray behind the Asha'ira, any other Muslim of any other sect, as long as they don't reach the level of kufr. With regards to the specific sect that you asked about, the Brelwiya, then it seems to me, when I looked into the issue, and this was in Medina quite a few years ago, the issue seems difficult. Sometimes we find the scholars saying that you're not permitted to pray behind the people of shirk. But here they're not referring to any specific individual. This is a ruling which is general. The people of shirk are not Muslims. A mushrik cannot be a Muslim. But now we're not talking about a particular person called Ahmed, for example, and he has fallen into shirk, and we say, right, this person is not Muslim because the imam said that the people of shirk, they are not Muslims. There's a difference between a general ruling and a specific ruling on a particular person. So we say that those people who commit shirk, then they are not Muslims. This doesn't mean that we are now making takfir of every single individual Muslims. When it comes to takfir, then there are certain rules and certain mawani', certain preventative factors that we have to look at. There are certain conditions that have to be met. There has to be evidence which has to be established upon them. And then the scholars can make the takfir upon a person. In all cases, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he mentions a principle. He said, every person whose prayer is correct for himself, then the prayer behind him for us is also correct. As long as a person whose prayer is correct for himself, then anybody who prays behind him, then their prayer is also correct. Meaning, as long as we hold that this person is praying on his own, that he's a Muslim, and his prayers are being accepted by Allah, then for us to pray behind him, then this is correct. And as for the person who's reached a level of shirk, whereby he has gone out of the fold of Islam, then his prayers for himself are not corrected, are not accepted, and they are not correct. And more so, therefore, our prayers behind him are not correct. So the answer to this is, that look at that specific individual in that specific masjid. If, instead of making a general ruling, the people of shirk, we don't pray behind them, generally speaking. When it comes to a specific ruling, if you know that that imam, let's say his name is Ali, for example, that imam, his aqeedah is aqeedah of total shirk, and he has gone out of the fold of Islam, then we don't pray behind him, because his prayer isn't correct for himself. So how can it be correct for those people who are behind him? But you have to pay attention that we don't make general rulings. Sometimes, look, for example, the Sufiya. The Sufiya, they're not all of the same level. We have the Sufiya who are ghulat. extreme Sufis, they believe in Wahdat al-Wujud, that Allah is everything and everything is Allah. Those people are kufar. Anybody who believes in Wahdat al-Wujud, even if he is a jahil, he's a kafir. Because this issue is known by absolute necessity. Min bab al-darura. Every single Muslim knows that there is a distinction between the that of Allah and the creation. So if a person comes and says that he believes in Wahdat al-Wujud, like, for example, Ibn Arabi, and there were two scholars. One was Ibn Arabi, and one was Ibn al-Arabi. And Ibn al-Arabi was from the famous Muhaddithin. And Ibn Arabi, without the Alif Lam, he was from the heretics, from the Ghulat al-Sufiyya. And Shaykh Hussam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, made takfir of him in his time. He considered him to be a disbeliever. And this is because this Ibn Arabi, he would say things like, first of all, he would believe in Wahdat al-Wujud. Unity in existence, that Allah is everything and everything is Allah. To the extent that he said that when Fir'aun said to the people, Ana Rabbukumul A'la, I am your Lord the greatest, he said that Fir'aun spoke the truth, because Allah is everything and everything is Allah. When the people worship the cow, then they are correct, because Allah is everything, or Allah manifests himself in everything, and everything is a manifestation of Allah, and this is clear kufr. So the point here is that even the Sufiya, there are different levels. We have the Sufiya who are the ghulat, absolute extreme in their beliefs. And they are kuffar, and there is no shyness in their takfir or holding them to be kuffar. Then we have other Sufiya, especially amongst our culture. In Morocco, for example, many of the common people, juhal, they don't know much. The level of shirk isn't that severe. They have some innovations with them. Some acting upon certain myths and stories, but not shift that level, and we don't hold them to be kuffar. So we look at the specific imam, this specific person. If his name is Ali, is he a kafir or is he a Muslim? Is his shirk in his aqidah to such a level that now he's a kafir, or is he a Muslim? If we say that his shirk is so much that it takes him out of the fold of Islam, then we don't pray behind him, and his own prayer isn't accepted, and he has to say the shahada. If, however, his aqidah is deviated but less than that form of kufr, then we can pray behind him. And we have to be careful about making general rulings upon a masjid or upon a people. Even, for example, the Brelwis, even amongst them, they're not all of the same level. For example, I have, you know, many friends who pray in the main masjid of the Brelwis in this town, and they're not particularly upon the aqidah. They pray there because it's where their father prayed, and it's the big masjid, and it's where, you know, it's near to their houses, and they're not particularly Brailwi. So it's difficult to give a general answer like this. The people of Shirk, generally speaking, we don't pray behind them, but when it comes to a specific ruling, then we look at that imam himself. That imam, what is his level of Shirk and what is his aqidah? Wallahu a'lam. We know that when a person says La ilaha illallah and he becomes a Muslim and Islam is established, then we hold this person to be a Muslim regardless of his sins, unless he reaches the level of kufr and he goes out to the fold of Islam. However, Islam has certain nawaqid, certain things which invalidate a person's, you know, I'm laughing, don't you? Nawaqid al-Islam. From amongst the nawaqid al-Islam is مَنْ لَمْ يُكَفِّرَ الْكَافِرِ, a person who does not make takfir or hold a non-Muslim to be a disbeliever. If a Muslim does not hold a non-Muslim to be a disbeliever, then this person is a kafir. However, there is a difference between a kafir whose kufr is asli and a murtad, a person who was a Muslim and then he's left the fold of Islam. So if a person was to say that I don't hold the Christians to be disbelievers, the Christians are also Muslims, or the Jews, or any other faith, then this person has committed one of the nawaqid of al-Islam. But those Christians, they are, their kufr is asli. We know that they non-Muslim. They were never Muslims in the first place. But then we have another situation in which we have a person, and he was a Muslim, and his Islam was known, and then takfir was made upon him. And perhaps it's a situation in which certain ulama have made takfir upon him and other scholars haven't made takfir upon him. Like we have with some of the people in our time, a couple of the rulers who passed away a short while ago, we find some of the ulama made takfir upon them, others didn't make takfir upon them, and others remained silent. So in that type of situation, we wouldn't say that this person is now a kafir because he hasn't made takfir of that person. Those scholars have held to be a kafir. With regards to Ibn Arabi, again, it's possible that those people, they're not aware of his mistakes. They're not aware that some of the scholars make takfir upon him. Shaykh Hussain Taymiyyah made takfir upon him. Perhaps other ulama, Allahu A'lam, maybe they didn't make takfir upon him. I'm not aware. So in that type of situation, we wouldn't rush to do this. In all cases, every single one of us here has to know that the issue of takfir and the issue of tabdi', holding a person to be a kafir or holding a person to be an innovator, making judgments upon people, then this is an issue for the scholars and not for us. We warn against the kufr. We warn against the bid'ah. And those people who are kufar and the kufr is asli, then we make takfir of them because they are kufar. And those people who are already innovators and they were never from Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, then we say that they're innovators. And we say that they're not from Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah. But as for making takfir of the Muslims and making tabdi' of the people of Ahlul Sunnah and warning from the people who are from Ahlul Sunnah, then this is only for the scholars and we leave it for them. No. We have to bury. Then it's upon the Muslims to pray the janazah. It's upon the Muslims to pray the janazah. The reason why perhaps it's not said here is because most of the people, number one, they don't speak Arabic and they don't understand that the dua that they're making. In the dua, obviously, if it's a man, we use the masculine. If it's a female, we use the feminine. If it's children, we can use the other and there's a separate dua. But the problem is that when you have a congregation that doesn't understand Arabic and they've only memorized the dua, like they memorize Surah Fatiha, and they don't know is it for male or female, perhaps for that reason they don't mention why it's male or female. But they should do it. It's something that should be done so that the people know, you know, who they're making dua over. We leave it for that this week, inshallah. Until next week. Wallahu a'lam.